Congregation, young friends, we hope to consider with the help of the Lord what we find in 1 Samuel 18, the verses 17 through 30. But let's read one verse. Let's read one verse together. 1 Samuel 18, verse 17. And Saul said to David, "Behold, my elder daughter, Merab, her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles." For Saul said, "Let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him." So far. David, King David, engaged. Almost married, engaged. Three thoughts. Engaged to Merab, the older one, the oldest daughter of Saul. Engaged to Merab. Secondly, because it didn't work, engaged to Michal, the second daughter of Saul. Engaged to the second daughter, to Michal. And in the third place, engaged to, what do you think? To Christ. David engaged to Merab, engaged to Michal, engaged to Christ. What do you think about King Saul? What do you know about him? His character. What type of person was he? Could you tell something about him? Would you like him? His personality? You know, he was a handsome, tall man. And when people looked at him, they thought, wow, he is really handsome. But what else? Remember? Maybe someone says he was very humble. I don't know. What about insecure? Is that different? I think he was insecure, not so much humble. Insecure, kind of, can I do anything good? When he was chosen to be the king of Israel, he also said those things, kind of, me? Would I be the king? I can hardly believe that. My father's house, you know, the smallest tribes, really? And then when he had to come forward because he was chosen, he was hiding. He did not come forward. He was kind of shy. I don't think from hindsight he was humble. Kind of looked like great. He was not so proud, but deep down in his heart there was so much pride. And that's why he was so insecure. Because he really thought, what do people think of me? And Saul said, "Am not I a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Therefore then speakest thou so to me." See that? And when he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was taken, and Saul the son of Kish was taken. And when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore, they inquired of the Lord further, if the man should come thither. And the Lord answered, "Behold, he is hiding himself among the stuff, among the tools, among the luggage. He's hiding." And yet this same King Saul, when he became older, I don't think he improved. I think he went downhill. Like, let me think about it. Think about it. He had to kill King Agag and destroy all the spoil, all the sheep and goats and camels. He was stubborn. Very stubborn. And he did not do that. He disobeyed the Lord. But the people, but he defended himself and he said, the people. He was not honest. The people took of the spoil, the sheep and the oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And he was very concerned, Saul, very concerned about his reputation. He was very sensitive. And people praised him. Oh, did he love that? Then people criticized him. He got really mad. He didn't think, well, whatever. It's your opinion. No, he just thrived when people praised him and was very down when people disliked him. Well, King Saul was a liar. He had an anger problem. Right? He took the javelin. Don't you have an anger problem then? Even two times. He was also fake. I read, I've sinned. Yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people. I have sinned. But the elders of my people, they will look down on me. So he just combines that. He was so fake. And he also was a manipulator. You know, when you think, when you add all those things up, I think today people would say he has some traits of narcissism. Narcissism. You look it up yourself what that means. Might be true. Something there. And I would not be surprised if that's the case. We will see it as well today. So I see King Saul sitting again in his throne and thinking. Do you see him thinking? What happened? He hates that man. He hates David. He wants to rid himself of him. How do I do that? How can I do that? Because the people love him. No, I'm not going to try to spit him to the wall again. I'm not going to take my javelin because people hate me. So I can't do that anymore. And even Jonathan, my son, right? But Jonathan, my son, Saul said, he loves David, so I have to be cautious that people and my own family does not turn against me. So could I hire someone to assassinate him? Could I find someone to kill him? That's what he thought. And he was thinking. He thought, I have an idea. Young people, I have an idea. What's your idea, Saul? Yeah, it sounds kind of strange. But you know what? You know what? What if I ask him to marry my oldest daughter? And if he marries my oldest daughter, then I think there are consequences. And I can set a condition. And I can tell him that he needs to be a valiant man. And I need to tell him that he has to fight. And that he has to earn that dowry. Because it was the custom those days to pay for the bride so that in case of divorce, the family would not suffer financially. So he thought about all that. That's an idea. Let us invite him to marry Mirab. And Saul said to David, behold, my elder daughter Mirab, her will I give thee to wife. Wow, that's an honor. He's going to be the son-in-law of the king. Her will I give to thy wife. Only be thou valiant for me. For me, be valiant, be courageous, fight hard, win some more battles. For Saul said, let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. So he said, David, you can marry my oldest daughter. Okay? The only thing is you have to keep fighting. As the captain in my army. And fight hard. And you thought, I hope you won't survive. You thought, I hope you'll get killed soon. So that we're all happy. Then I'm happy. And then I have not upset the people. And that would be such a great thing if that would happen. You know, he's a manipulator, right? He's a manipulator. But it's something even more serious in this text. See that? Saul said to David, behold, think about that. My elder daughter Merab, her will I give thee to wife. Okay? Only be thou valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles. And fight the Lord's battles. He's pious. Fight the Lord's battles. You know, he is such a pious king, and he says, David, you know the Lord's on our side, and the Lord is fighting for us, and we are in a holy war against the Philistines, and I would like you to have a place in that holy war, because I know you're a holy man, I know you're a God-fearing man, and you're a believer. So, of course, you would like to do that, right? To fight the battles of the Lord. Liar, manipulator. This is not right. This is awful. Using the Lord's name in vain for that. Just lying about it. How can you do that? But then there's Saul. Saul is not upright. Saul is not a child of God. Saul is a manipulator, and he has a mental problem, and he is yet completely responsible for what he's doing. Quite something. Fighting the Lord's battles. Who do you remember? Who resembles him? I think of John 12, verse 6. This he said, who is that? Listen, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Judas said, oh, let us not waste all the time for that special nardus oil, that ointment. It could have been given to the poor. So pious. It looks so good. And he was a thief. He wanted to have that money for himself. But he pretended to be so caring and so loving. David saw the same thing. Or think of Romans 16:18. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. They can talk so beautiful, so smooth, so well, so pious. You know, it's for God's glory, it's for God's honor, the Lord's battles, right, David? So I will give you my oldest daughter, but you only have to fight the battles of the Lord, right? You agree with me, don't you? David, would he like to marry one of the daughters? And David said, verse 18, unto Saul, who am I? And he meant it. And it was not insecurity. That was true humility. And David said unto Saul, who am I? And what is my life and my father's family in Israel, that I should a son-in-law to the king? Really? Who was David's father? Remember? Was David's father? Jesse? And who was Jesse's father? Obed? And who was Obed's father? Boaz? And who was Boaz's wife? Ruth? And where was Ruth from? From Moab? See? He had Moabitish blood in himself. So is that why? Some think so. That is why he says, me? Who am I? What is my life and my father's family in Israel? We are half Gentiles. That I should be son-in-law to the king? So David was wondering. And felt unworthy of this. And congregation, when the Lord visits his people, when the Lord blesses his people, they time and again feel that way. That's typical for the fear of the Lord. That feeling, who am I? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? He will say that later as well. When the Lord promises him the kingdom, who am I and what is my house? Do you know that? How do you feel by yourself? Do you also feel like Paul, the chief of the sinners? Do you know the place of being low and humble in the dust, being unworthy the least of the blessings of the Lord? You know, that is so typical for the fear of the Lord. True humility, not insecurity, but unworthiness. But it came to pass, 19, at the time when Mary Saul's daughter should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel, the Meholathite, to wife. So David, he was kind of happy, right? So he got used to the thought, I'm going to be the son-in-law to the king. That's quite something. So he got used to that in the course of a few weeks, a month. So he counted on the wedding and were preparing the wedding, I guess. And then someday, she's gone. Someday she did not come anymore. Someday she broke off. Because Saul did something. Saul said, no, I changed my mind. I give her to someone else, to Adriel the Meholathite. You know that Saul, if it is true that he was a narcissist, had no empathy. He didn't care about David's feelings. David's feelings, his feelings, whatever. He only thought of himself. And what they go through, that's their problem. So David did not like this. David felt manipulated. He felt jojoed, right? Up and down and up and down, yes and no and yes and no. And he did not trust this king at all anymore. What a king, King Saul. Do you think that it's possible that you would do those things? Do you think it is possible that you could develop that way? Is it possible that people fall that deep after such a promising life and promising beginning? He who thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. You know, that is the fearful thing. that you cannot partially trust yourself. That if the Lord is not holding his people in his hands, they will lose everything. So we need the Lord to begin, and we need the Lord to continue. We need the Lord's almighty hand, so that we are not only close to the kingdom, but in the kingdom. David, Saul was close, but the heart was missing. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but the war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn sword. Right? Psalm 55. That's the psalm David composed. So when Saul composed that Psalm 55, words smoother than butter, but war in his heart, he felt a psalm. His words softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Swords. He wanted to kill him. So pious talk. And yet, we also read about that in Psalm 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut off like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Evildoers shall be cut off. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seek to slay him. You know, Psalm 37 and Psalm 109, many, many psalms actually, are about David complaining and suffering about people that are two-faced. And it's hard. It's hard. And let me already say this. And David, in all those things, was wise. Was wisely. Just was waiting what to do and was cautious. But he was for sure a manipulator. He had a hidden agenda. And we should keep in mind, the Lord resisted the proud, but give a grace unto the humble. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Ye all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisted the proud and giveth grace to the poor, to the humble. So David was single again. And I would not be surprised if Saul would have hoped that David would be super angry and that he would have said something that he would regret, and that he had given him a reason to kill him yet. Because he was very cunning. He was a complex person, very cunning. And he liked those complots. Saul, a very toxic person, hating David. But verse 19, the second thought. But it came to pass at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel the Meholathite to wife, and Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. So the second daughter loved David. You know, that tall man, handsome, smart, valiant, courageous. She liked him. She fell in love with him. And they told Saul, "Saul, Michal, you know, the Michal, she loves David." He smiled. He thought, great, try it again. And he told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him. You know what a snare is? Snare? With a snare, you can catch a rabbit or you can catch a bird. A snare around the neck with a piece of metal or so. You can snare an animal, right? Snare a rabbit. So Saul said, I will give him her that she may be a snare to him. What did he mean? I don't exactly know, but I think of two things. Michael was kind of a person. She was later not happy at all when David danced before the ark. And she despised him. Michael had no fear of God in her heart whatsoever. She hated God. She had no room in her heart for Jesus, for salvation. She liked David. She was infatuated with him, but no love of God in her heart. So she could influence him and be a snare unto him. Is that what it is? Or did he mean, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him? Wherefore Saul did say to David, thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twain. I have no explanation of that last sentence. I could not find something that satisfies. But it must be something like, then at least you're married to one of them. That the hand of the Philistines may be against him. So again, that same thing, because he is going to come with a condition again, the condition that you have to fight. And in this case, he said, you have to kill 100 Philistines and have proof of that by handing out, by giving over the foreskins of them. 100 Philistines have been killed. And taking the foreskins will just make them so terribly angry that they will fight even harder, because that's desecration, that's abuse. Thou shalt this day be my son-in-law. But you know, David was not very interested. He did not trust that king at all. Because he was betrayed before, right, with Mira. She was kind of whatever. He just let it go. And just ignored it. But Saul commanded his servants, commune with David secretly. What a manipulator. Whisper in his ear, the king has delight in thee. All the servants love you. Now therefore be the king's son-in-law. David, do it. So they were encouraged by Saul to whisper in his ears that they all liked him and that the king liked him. He didn't. He hated him. Liar. And Saul commanded his servants, commune with David secretly, say, behold, the king has delight in thee. All the servants love thee. Now therefore be the king's son-in-law. Just do it. Do it. And Saul's servants spake these words in the ears of David. And David said, seemeth it to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed? You know, they don't like me, and I can't afford it. I don't have the money for that. So the servant of Saul told Saul, this is what he said. I can't afford it. And Saul said in verse 25, thus shall ye say to David, the king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul fought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines to the second time. So King Saul said, David, I don't need cattle, I don't need money, I don't need gold and silver. I just let it go, the whole dowry. The only thing is you have to kill 100 Philistines and come with the foreskins. And David eventually accepted it. And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law, and the days were not expired. Verse 26. So, before the offer expired, David accepted. And he said, okay. Did he see this as a step towards the kingdom? Did he see this as the way of the Lord? Was the Lord opening a door? I don't know what he actually thought, but he did it. He said, okay, I will do that. And he had also that attitude of, I would like to fight the battle of the Lord. Yes, he wanted that. He wanted to fight the battle of the Lord. Saul was pretending, but he in reality, because they were at war with the Philistines. They really were. So he did. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. So there was a wedding, and you could just notice it. David in his special clothing, and the bride, Michal, and the party. And you just saw it, right? That girl, that young woman, Michal, she loved David. Everyone was convinced this is not fake. Sometimes those rose weddings were fake, were just arranged by parents. But this was genuine. And that made Saul even more angry. Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David. He saw and knew. What a suffering also for Saul. You know, I also feel sorry for him. He was an evil man. He developed the wrong way. I also feel sorry for him. He must have felt so lonely, so forsaken, so abandoned, no hope. Who likes me? Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David. He couldn't say that the Lord was with him. He was without God in the world, unconverted, and hardening his heart. Awful. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. See that in verse 29? And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. So before, he had those mood swings. Sometimes David he liked him, and sometimes he didn't, and then he threw his javelin, and then he said, would you like to marry my daughter? But now it was, he was done with it. He was David's enemy continually. That's not easy. Snare to him. There are more of those examples in the Bible, right? Of people hating. Think of Esther and Haman. And Haman said to the king Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people and all provinces of thy kingdom, and the laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, it's not for the king's prophet to suffer them. You know, they wanted to kill the Jews and to kill Mordecai. But again, think, for example, of Joseph. And when they saw him afar off, even before they came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him, the brothers of Joseph. Exactly the same. Conspired to slay him. Daniel. Then the president and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find an occasion. Think of Naboth and so many more. King Saul. What was it? Narcissism? Maybe. Maybe some traits of it. But he had changed quite a bit. And he was not a child of God. Just in his mouth, not in his heart. Now, someone is thinking this morning, could I be one? Could I be a Saul? Yeah, I think that. Am I a Saul? Well, even if you would have been a Saul so far, the door of God's grace is yet open. It's not over yet. You're still alive. There's still salvation. And the Lord is still the same. And he can save people, whatever they did, and whoever they are. So don't harden your heart, and don't be so discouraged. Even if it will be true that you will be a Saul, you can yet be saved. And if you say, of course not, I'm not a Saul, what do you think? Now I'm even more concerned. Because the Lord Jesus told the disciples that one of them would betray him. And they all said, is it I? You know, any one of us could go this route. If the Lord lets you go, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Yes, persecuting the Lord. But also think of the Apostle Peter. I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And if you are converted, so comfort your brethren. So you have to pray, dear child of God, when you have that fear. Could I be like that? Bow your knees, say, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Lord, keep me. Lord, hold on to me. And you pray, and you fight the good fight, the battle of the Lord. Fight the good fight. Keep fighting. I encourage you to keep fighting. Don't sit back and say one true sigh is enough, and I don't need anything else. Endure. Endure. Fight the good fight. Fight unto blood. So if your beginning was true, start all over. And just lay all aside. Look, I don't know anymore. So just present yourself as someone confused and unconverted and say, Lord, if thou would not save me, it's lost. Engage to Mirab, engage to Michael. In the third place, engage to Christ. Amazing. that David was willing to marry the king's daughter, and that he was also willing to slay so many Philistines, and he went out and actually slayed 200, twice as many. So David and Michael married, and David was happy about it. And David, I suppose not, you can see that not, was willing to forgive. Bygones are bygones. That's over. I'm married to Michael now. Saul is my father-in-law. We will just make the best of it. Forgiving. You know, I thought of a few verses in the Bible. But made himself of no reputation. Who is that? Christ. Made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So David is an example, right, so often an example of the Lord Jesus, of forgiveness, of patience, of goodness, of not being so concerned about your own reputation. And so the Lord Jesus, he humbled himself, gave himself over to his father, and was kissed by Judas. He was betrayed by Judas. What a betrayal. What a lie. And also in 1 Peter 2, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. So if you are dealing with someone like Saul, whoever it is, family member or whoever it is, learn from this. Learn from David. Be wise. Be cautious. Be smart. Be in control. Because David is in control, in a sense, right? He was in charge. Saul was kind of in the grips of the evil thing. But you know, I'm sorry. I have to tell you something shocking this morning. You think about it, you cry. This David did the same thing. This David, he saw Bathsheba. Wanted to marry her, right? And he said to Uriah, go home. Go home for the night. Because he knew that she was pregnant. And Uriah said, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not going home. I'm in the battle. He refused. And then David said to his general, in the fight, set him in a dangerous place, and I hope he'll be killed. And David said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter saying, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hardest battle, and then retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die. And the men of the city went out and followed Joab, and there fell some of the people, the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. And David wanted to cover it up. What do I say now? Saul, you kind of expected that, right? When you saw the patterns, you're not surprised anymore for whatever he's doing. But David, the man after God's heart, the man who was an example of the Lord Jesus, doing this. And then not talking about it for a long time and covering it up. Now, Saul was not successful. He did not kill David. The Philistines neither. David survived. But Uriah did not. Uriah died. There's a difference. There's one more difference. What is it? Saul never truly repented of it. And David did. David did. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. And he felt truly sorry for that. He was asking the Lord to not take away his Holy Spirit and not take away the joy and to restore him. Right? Psalm 51. What a difference. So that is shocking, right? So what do you have to say now about Saul? Would you say to Saul, you're such a bad man. We won't never do that. Well, David did. So here you see it again. Nobody is too good for this. Anyone could fall into those hands. Yes, you too. Who do you think we are? Fallen so deep in sin, we could fall into any sin. And yet, there is forgiveness with him. Forgiveness with him who's more than David, who knew no sin. He knew no sin, never sinned, but he was made to be sin for us, to make righteousness of God through him. That's the only hope in salvation. No, that someone like David, after receiving grace, fell so deep, committed murder, and committed adultery, yet saved. So I think we have all reasons to agree with Peter. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled not again. You know, when you have hard thoughts about someone, is it someone you have absolutely no use for? You hate that person with a passion. You know why you do that? Why you hate the person so much? Because you think you're better. We are not. We are not any better. So knowledge of self helps you dealing with others. Knowledge of yourself helps with bearing the cross and following the Lord Jesus Christ. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. But the Lord Jesus had more enemies. And with David, you read three times in this chapter, and the Lord was with him, right? Three times. So that's important. Whatever you're suffering, whatever you're dealing, have to deal with in this life, with your employer or your husband or your child or whoever it is, and it makes your life miserable. What really helps is to know your own sins. But what also helps is to realize that Lord Jesus sit on the cross. The Lord is with me. No. David, yes, the Lord was with him. And the Lord Jesus on the cross said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why? He was the perfect one. He was not like Saul. He was not like David. He had no sin. And he was made to be sin and he died. David escaped from the javelin and in so many different ways. The Lord gave him the victory. And he did not deserve it. He had also that evil flesh. So we go home, talk about it with your family, about that evil Saul and that converted evil David, who still had that flesh, who still was not over it, but now is. And Saul died without God. He committed suicide without God. And David is in heaven. And the fact that he's in heaven is only grace. Only grace. Amazing grace. And that Saul is in hell is only his own fault. So, seek him who is more than David. Believe in that Lord Jesus Christ, more than David, without sin, to be saved from the wrath of God. Not the wrath of people, but the wrath of God. You may be concerned about the favor of people, if people like you. What really counts is if God likes you. Seek him. And live. Amen.